that you may stand in this morning for the reading of the Word of God.
Amen.
You can be turning in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs and chapter number 6 in the Word of God for this morning. Please, Proverbs and chapter number 6 in the Word of God for today. I want to read about 3 verses of Scripture there and bring what I feel like the Lord would have us to hear in the morning hour, and hope God will. I bet this is dead. I've been lifting on me. We'll be reading the Scripture while he's getting that done. Proverbs chapter number 6. And I want to begin reading in verse number 20, where the wise man Solomon makes this statement. He said, "My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee."
Amen.
Now that's all I'm going to read this morning. Brother Gray gets the Mike, I apologize for leaving that on. That's my fault. We'll have a prayer and we'll try to bring the thought God's laid on our heart. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the Sunday school time today and, Lord, for the song service. Thank you for the good fellowship we've already enjoyed with your people, the blessings of life that are upon us. Lord, we even thank you this morning for the trials and the hard times that we all face. And we're living in that day, in that age, Lord, when it doesn't seem like it's going to get better, but we got enough confidence in the Word of God that we know that there's a better day ahead. We look forward to that wonderful day when you shall appear. I pray that you are blessed to preaching your Word this morning to those that hear, those that are listening here in the auditorium, those by the way of radio. Give us the grace and the understanding that we need that we might rejoice in what Christ has done for us, not rejoice in man, rejoice in you. Be thankful to you for what you've done. Thank you, Lord, for the life that you gave that we might be saved and have received forgiveness of sin, that we might have eternal life, that we might live in the presence of God. Lord, that we might also escape the torments and the damnation of hell. Bless now, I pray, grant liberty this morning and do everything that needs to be done in our hearts. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. And you may be seated. I want to read verse number 22 is really where I'm going to be taking my thoughts from this morning. There's 3 statements made there that I want to preach a little while from those and to give you just a brief introduction, and then we'll get right into them. But Solomon says there in verse 22, he said, "When thou goest, it shall lead thee." And then he says, "And where thou sleepest, when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee." And then thirdly, he said, "And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee." And he's talking about, of course, he mentions in text those commandments of his father and the law of a person's mother. But we all know that in real spiritual truth and reality, that he's given reference here to the Word of God and how it applies and how it works in my life and in your life. And so I want to preach for a little while on the thought this morning of the comfort in God's Word, or the comfort we find from the Word of God. Now, he starts out by, as I made the statement, by speaking about to his son about keeping his father's commandment and about forsaking not the law of his mother. And, you know, it's always a blessing when our father's commandments and our mother's law are fully in agreement with the Word of the Lord. When you say, can you say amen to that? There are so many parents today that are trying to raise their children, and what they have to say and what God has to say. Differs one from another. But I think Solomon, in his great wisdom, and no doubt this inspiration of the Spirit of God, says that they both ought to go together like a hand in a glove. What the parents have to say, the commandments of the father and the law of the mother, ought to line up with exactly what God has to say for them. And that puts a great deal of responsibility on we that are parents or grandparents, but especially upon those that are parents that have not raised their children but are still in the process of seeing your children grown and raised and brought out of your home. And your commandments, you're going to have to study the Bible and know what God has to say. I think that's important that we know what the Lord has to say. The Lord, no doubt, it's God's will for all to be saved, none to perish. But once we're saved, we're to be students of the Word of God and begin learning what God has to say in the Scriptures for us. Now, the Bible said we're to bind them, according to this, we're to bind them upon the heart. And binding them upon the heart is really a place of safety. He doesn't say that we carry them in the hand. If you're like me, you carry something in your hand, I'm going to tell you what you do. See these things on my nose that are fastened around my ear? If I have to find those once a day, I have to find them at least 75 times a day. You know why? Because I carry them in my hand and I lay them down. I don't know where they are. My automobile keys, I don't know where they are half the time. But if you've got something that is bound around your heart, you're not apt to lose it. You can find it there. And so God's law, God's commandment, God's word, we're to bind them about our heart rather than carrying them in a place that they may be laid down and forgotten. So many times we forget where we lay things, but I'll tell you, we tuck away God's word and hide it in our heart. We're not going to soon forget what God has to say. And then he said we're to tie tightly. Those things about our neck, and we're to do that continually, and that is that they might continually, or that they might preserve us continually. God's word will preserve us.
Amen.
It'll keep
Amen.
Us from falling, Amen. and that's a blessing. God's law in the heart, it reveals that love that we have for Him. And if we keep God's law bound in our heart, it's going to reveal the love that we have for Him. And then also, and that which is bound about the neck, it gives us an outward testimony that we have taken up our cross without being ashamed and are cheerfully following Him in His suffering and in His sanctified life. And true, the Word of God inwardly, it's God's love in us. But outwardly, it becomes a testimony. It's like Brother Foley told me this morning. He said he sat down in the dentist's office and he saw a sign hanging on the dentist's wall that said something to this effect, that Mother Teresa said a good smile starts the day or something, and it was signed, it brings peace. And then it was signed Mother Teresa. And Brother Foley was just a word of testimony. And that word on the outside, he told the dentist, he said, that's a wonderful saying. But he said, you know, in all reality, peace doesn't begin with Mother Teresa. It begins with the Lord.
Amen.
And the dentist said, do you go to church? He said, I go to a Baptist church. But said, if I put Jesus' name on there, said they might come in here and shut me down. I don't think they'd do that. But what I'm saying is that word outward, inwardly, is the love of God. And that love of God inwardly, bound on the outside, becomes a testimony to those around us. And that's exactly what our Lord is saying here. Now, Paul does say in the book of Romans, in chapter 15, verse 4, he said, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and what? Comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And I'm glad that the Bible gives me comfort. I'm telling you, we live in an hour of great tribulation and great trials on the people of God. But there is comfort to be found from the Scripture. And not just the New Testament, but he's referring here to those that were written in the Old Testament. Those things that were written aforetime. That is, before, Paul said, before my time. What was written for my patience and for my comfort in from the Word of God. Now, and I say amen to that. Now, in verse number 22, as I've already said, the Lord uses the wisdom of Solomon to reveal three areas of life that His Word is used in providing a great comfort for those of you and I who are the children of the Lord, those that have been born again. He says, first of all, in verse 22, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. What? The Word of God, God's commandments, God's law. It shall lead thee. That is, it shall give us direction. I've heard a lot of people say, I'm praying for direction in my life. Well, I'll tell you where you can find it. You can find it in the Word of God. You better be careful listening to some man. You better listen to what the Word of God has got to say. And you better not trust in your own heart. It's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. But like the book says, this book is true. Let every man be a liar. And I'm going to tell you, you can find direction for your life in the Word of God. And I'm going to say this, it'll never lead you wrong. I'll tell you, the man's word will lead you astray. And your heart will lead you astray. But this Bible will never lead you astray. When I mention something like this, I'm always reminded of the missionary that came through here and was called to a particular country, I think Paraguay. And he was looking for something in the Word of God that would give him assurance that's where the Lord wanted him. And he said he was building a set of kitchen cabinets and went and bought some plywood. And he read on that plywood made in Paraguay. Well, he said that was God speaking to my heart, and I knew that was God's will. There's only one problem with that. When he gets in Paraguay, that piece of plywood's going to be in America in somebody's cabinet. Say amen right there. And he's not going to have it in the Bible. But when this book speaks to your heart, I'm going to tell you, you can take it to the bank, because God's law and God's commandments, if we'll bind them in our heart and tie them around our neck, they will be give us direction in our life that we will neither stumble nor fall, but they will always lead us in the light of the Word of God and give us light along the way, that God will lead us and give us the direction and the divine help that we need. Now, I can illustrate that in the life of Abraham. You remember what Paul said about Abraham in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse number 8. The Bible said, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, the Bible said that he obeyed. Amen. And that's what we ought to do. Amen. When God speaks to us from that Word, we ought to obey. Amen. And not doubt, but obey. You know, and I'm afraid there's too many people today, and I know the preacher is not God, but I'm telling you, the preacher does preach the Word of God. And I believe it's the Word of God that does the work in a person's heart. Not necessarily what I've got to say, but what the Bible said. And the Bible did say there that Abraham obeyed. Now, I didn't say that. I said that, but I didn't say that. God did. And if Abraham obeyed, if we're going to get direction from the Lord in our life, we're going to have to obey too. What? Obey what? God's commandments and God's law as it gives us direction. We're going to have to obey as it gives us that direction. And get this. He just obeyed the Lord, and guess what he did? The Bible said that he went out. Now, here's the point. Not knowing whither he went. Now, what are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that is God's law and God's commandment given Abraham the direction that he needed in his life, although he went out from Ur of the Chaldees not knowing where he was going. But the Word of God said go, and so he left. But you know something? All along his journey, God continued to speak to Abraham. And when he needed direction for his life, God gave it to him. When he looked for a son to be heir of all of his riches, God gave him one. That's right. Amen. God always, when he was ready to slay that boy, God spoke to him by the Word of the Lord. That's right. And God gave him that direction for his life. And God will you, and God will me also in our life. In verse 10 of that same chapter, the Bible said, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. I wonder what city we're looking for this morning. I won't say this, and I say it as much love as I can get in my heart, okay? That I believe if I was the people that lived in New Orleans, Louisiana, I'd be looking for a city beside New Orleans. I mean, brother, when it shows people in the newspaper and they're walking down the street in water from their home up to their necks, they're in their own street in front of their house, I believe it's time to start looking for another city. You realize that that city is below sea level? And there's an old Indian from years ago, I can't recall his name right now, that told the Americans when they built there, he said, "You are fools for building there because you're building a city that is below the level of that ocean out there." And I'm telling you, it's proved to be an absolute fact. And I believe out of them, I'd look for a city. Hey, how many times have they been washed out? A whole lot of times. But get a hold of this. If you're looking for a city that has foundation, whose builder and maker is God, you don't have to worry about being washed out. The water will never grow over your head. I'll guarantee you on that. He'll give you water to swim in. I'm talking about the water of the Word of God that'll give you direction for your life that will lead you to that everlasting city that God has prepared for you and I. Amen. Brother, I'm going to say this world's not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm looking for another city like John saw that had walls of jasper and gates of pearl set on 12 pillars that come down out of heaven adorned as a bride for a husband. That's the city that I'm looking for this morning. That's the city that Abraham was looking for. And they've come today, bless the Lord, that we're not only going to find it, but we're going to dwell in it by the grace of God.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. And the Bible does say about old Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, and I'm going through it backwards. But it said, "Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." Now I'm going to tell you, I think that'd be good instruction for all of us today. Somebody said, "Are you telling me I need to leave where I live?" No, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that spiritually. There's a lot of people today that are living in a land that is going to be destroyed someday by fire. That's right. What I'm getting at is there's a whole lot of people living today that are lost and without God, and they're on their way to hell, and they have absolutely no hope. And that Abram stayed in the land of Ur of the Chaldees. He had died there in his sin and went to hell. But what God is telling us here is there is a country that we live in. Now, I'm not talking about America. I'm not necessarily talking about any nation. I'm talking spiritualizing, if you'll let me. We're living in a lost world, a lost society. People are lost and going to hell. And what He's telling us through Abraham is we need to get out of this place, find direction for our life, and let God lead us to that everlasting city through the forgiveness of sin by the way of Calvary, where there is redemption and the blood has been shed. Amen. And a life has been given and a sacrifice has been made for the redemption of our soul. Hallelujah. I'm now ready to get beside myself. I'm glad I've been to Calvary, and the Lord said it's that way, and when He said that way, I followed Him.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thanks be unto God. You ought to find comfort from that.
Amen.
When God tells you there's a city that's built by God that we can go to, not by man, it's not temporal, it's eternal, not made by man. If it's eternal, it'll be there when we get there. And by the way, if it's eternal, it was there before we ever thought about it being there. And by the way, He ain't setting another place at the table. Amen. That's right. Thank God. Now, I could illustrate Noah on that same thing. My Bible tells me, when thou goest, it shall lead thee. Well, the Bible said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, here's what God told Noah. He said, and God said unto Noah, God said, there He is speaking.
Amen.
God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Then he said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. That's all God said. God said, make thee an ark of gopher wood. He didn't say anything else to him, except giving him the dimensions on how big to build that ark and how to lay it out and get the animals on board. And that's what he did. But here's the point I'm trying to make. When he crawled on that ark, I'll guarantee you he didn't have a compass. He didn't have a map that said, this is the direction you're going. You're going up across the sea this way and over to the ocean around this way. You're going to come up through the Ohio River and down the Mississippi and out into the... It didn't have a map of any kind whatsoever. He just said, build an ark and get on it. In other words, folks, hey, he didn't know in himself where he was going. Do you think that he had a map that said, Noah, get on the ark. I'm taking you to Mount Ararat. No, sir. God just told him to get on the ark. And like Abraham, he obeyed. And I'm going to say, if you'll obey God, he'll always set you down in the right place where you need to be set down. And when you believe Noah got on that ark, by the will of God, through the Word of God, without a map, without a compass, and God gave him the direction by being on that ark and set that ark right down on Mount Ararat. And by the way, they say they found that they ain't. They'll still be looking for it when Jesus. They ain't found that ark. They're not going to find that ark. They're not going to find where Moses was buried. They'd worship those places. They're not going to find them. No, sir. Isn't that amazing? That God set Noah down in that place by His own direction and will. Noah had no idea where he was going. But the Word, build thee an ark. Noah bound it in his heart. Noah tied it around his neck. You know, I believe building that ark was a testimony to that crowd out there. Because the Lord said, the earth is filled with violence. And here's what He said. I will destroy them with the earth. Now I'm going to tell you, there's coming another judgment day. And brother, that violent crowd, I've never seen such a... I'm almost 66 years old, will be in a few days. And I have never seen the violence in this world. Forget the wars. He's not talking about wars and violence in wars. He's talking about the violence in humanity itself. Amen. Have you ever lived in an hour when there's any more violence in this earth than what we're seeing right now? Hey, I never dreamed I'd ever see the hour when people could just kill at random just for the sake of killing. But we're there, folks. Now I'm telling you, we better take heed to where we are in the generation we're living in. Because I'm telling you, the day it was in the days of Noah, and if we're not there, I don't know where we are. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Hall? You better make sure you got your ark built. Amen. Not only that, you better make sure you're on that ark.
Amen.
Amen. Somebody said, do you know every step of the way? No, but like the song Brother George sang a while ago, each step I take, my Savior goes before me. Yeah. I don't know the way, but He knows the way. And because He knows the way, He'll guide me every step of the way to where He wants me to be. Hallelujah. That's right. All we need to do is just follow God. Isn't that simple? Just follow God. Bind that Word in her heart. Tie it about her neck. Keep that love of God here, that testimony out here, and God will give us direction for our life. Amen. And then I think of Joseph. I'll try to hurry a little bit faster. Joe, you know Joseph, how he was hated by his own brothers. And the Bible said about him, you know how he went up and they took his little coat and dipped it in goat's blood and throwed him in a pit and took the coat to Jacob and told Jacob that his boy was dead. And the wild beasts of the field had got him, and Jacob was grieved and brokenhearted. They throwed him in a pit, and they threw him in that pit. But there passed by Midianite merchantmen. And it said, and they drew him, and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And here's what it said. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. I want to ask you something. Do you think Joseph knew where he was going? When them boys threw him in that pit, he probably thought this is the end.
Right.
I don't think he had any idea at all where he was going or what lay ahead. But God say, do you think it was a coincidence those men came by and drew him out of there? Do you think it was a coincidence that he went to Potiphar's house? Because from Potiphar's house, he went to the prison house. But from the prison house, he went to Pharaoh's house. Do you think that was all a coincidence? I don't. Do you think when Joseph was in that pit, that he knew that someday he'd be governor over all the land of Egypt and only second to Pharaoh? And by the way, get this now. Some of y'all ought to choke to death on this. He was only second to Pharaoh while Pharaoh was on the throne. That's all. He wasn't even playing second fiddle when Pharaoh got off that throne. He was the kingpin. Do you think that he knew that when he left? When he was thrown in that pit? Oh, no. But I'm telling you, that word of God that little Joseph had hidden his heart, and that law that had bound around his neck, give direction for his life. And his brothers thought, sure, when he found him out, surely he's going to kill us. He said, I'm not going to harm you because God, here's what he said. He said, God sent me here before you to preserve you. Now, every one of you in here ought to kick up your heels. Hallelujah to God. I'm telling you that God sent Jesus before you and I to preserve us. Somebody said, what about the Old Testament? Hey, as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hey, that's right. He sent Jesus before the Old Testament saints. Now, he didn't die. But he was as good as dead for them. Because God had done said so. You better believe that's right. That's exactly right. So I'm glad Jesus went before us to preserve us. That's right. I don't understand all that, but I'm glad that he did. That little old soldier boy back when I got born again, I had no idea about anything about that. I didn't know Joseph existed, except in the little plays that we done at Sunday school in Methodist Church. Every year we do that Christmas play, and we had one Joseph in it. Joseph and Mary, you know, but wasn't this Joseph? I know this Joseph existed. And I knew Jesus existed, but I didn't know him. But I'm glad on that Sunday morning I got to know him. Amen. And I'm glad when he spoke to my heart, I said, what way, Lord? And he said, there's only one way, and I am that way. And he said, my way is the right way. And if you follow my way will lead you all the way, amen, to the throne of God someday. Hallelujah. That's exactly what it's going to lead us to. Bless his wonderful name. Amen. That's right. Then notice what it says. It not only says, when thou goest, it shall lead thee, but when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. Not only does that word that we bind in our heart and tie about our neck, not only does it give us direction, but it defends us when we're helpless. When a man's asleep, he's vulnerable to anything. When you're asleep, I'm telling you, hey, boy, that's why I sleep. I still today sleep with one eye open. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. I learned to do that. I'm serious now. I learned to do that in Vietnam. And I'm telling you, when we're asleep, we're vulnerable.
Amen.
Anything and anybody.
Yeah.
A lot of people die in their sleep. Not from disease either. From others. But my text tells me that he'll defend us when we're helpless, when we're sleeping. He'll protect us. Notice what David said. David said in Psalm 4 and verse number 8. He said, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep. For the Lord only maketh me dwell in safety. David said, hey, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to lay down in peace. I ain't worried about it. I've got the Lord is protecting me. And I'm going to sleep through it all, for the Lord is protecting me. I know we ought to be fools when it comes to things like tornadoes and things like that that come through. And we oughtn't to be crazy and foolish about that. We ought to take warning and take heed. But I'll never forget one night, boy, it was a siren, it was a beller, and a few years ago, I mean, they were bad going off. I woke Miss Hall up and I said, "Honey, the storm siren is going off." She said, "So what? I'm sleepy." She just rolled over. I said, "Well, if it gets her to get me too, I'm going to sleep too." I just rolled back over and went to sleep. And the storm didn't get us. Now I'm going to tell you something. I'm not saying that was wisdom in that way on our part. But what I am saying is that the storms of life will not get you and I spiritually. We can lay down and sleep and peace and sleep because the storms of life, God will keep us through them.
Amen.
God is our safety. God is our preserver. God is our protector through it all. Hallelujah. David said, "I think I'll just lay down and go to sleep." I'm going to tell you something. We worry ourselves to death about things. We're all guilty of it. I'm wringing my hands right now about payroll. We couldn't even make payroll this week. We don't know what to do about the building back there. Maybe I spoke too fast. I don't know. I'm not perfect. But I will say this, I'm not going to worry about it. One way or the other, I'm not going to worry about it. Let God handle it. And you'd be better off to let God handle it. Instead of running your opinion on it, everybody in the church, if you got an opinion, you ought to come tell me about you. I might get some help.
Amen.
It ain't going to be no help gossiping about it.
Right.
There'll be help talking to the man of God about it.
Right.
Amen. Come on in the house,
Amen.
Boys and girls.
Amen.
That's right. But I'm not. Hey, no need to worry about it. We're doing all we can do. Come on, it won't cost you nothing. David laid down and went to sleep because he had the Word of God bound in here and tied around his neck. But I know another man that went to sleep that apparently didn't have it there. His name was Samson. And he woke up not knowing the Spirit of God had departed and the power was gone. You know why? Because he never obeyed one thing about the Nazarite vow that God put on him. He was a Nazarite from the womb, but he never obeyed one law of the Nazarite vow. Not one. He didn't have that word in his heart. But I'm amazing how God still used him in the end. But by the way, mind you now. Mind you what I'm telling you. Oh, God used him in the end. But I'm telling you, it cost him his life for God to use him. It cost him greatly. We can be saved. We'll make it in the end. But I'm telling you, we don't have that word bound in our heart and tied about our neck. I'll guarantee you it'll cost us something in this life. It'll cost us the blessings of God in this life, ladies and gentlemen. They're not there. Somebody say amen. Now, I think about Jacob. Old Jacob, chapter number 28. The Bible said that when he had left Esau, left the house of his father, Isaac, it said he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. He's out in the wilderness. There's wild beasts all around him. He could have been devoured in his sleep, but not a beast touched him. I don't even believe an ant crawled on him. I don't even believe he got stung by a bit by a mosquito. I don't even believe a fly crawled up his nose. I don't believe anything at all touched him. Why? Had the word bound in his heart and about his neck, and he lay down and went to sleep, and God gave him safety in that place. and watched over him in that place. And I'm here to tell you, folks, that God will watch over you and I as well. Amen. That's right. He said, he laid down in that place to sleep. He had some good company. The Lord was there. He saw the angels going up and down on that ladder. But you know, to his amazement, he looked up on that ladder and guess what he saw? He looked at the top of that ladder and saw the Lord. Amen. That's good when you can lay down and go to sleep and see the Lord. Now, you all catch that in a slow freight. Sometimes we'll drift off to sleep spiritually. But thank God He's still there. He hadn't forsaken us. We may be a little doty-headed, a little sleepy-eyed, a little heavy-eyed like the three disciples were in the garden. But you say, the Lord didn't go no further than a stone's throw away from them. And He came back. He went away and He came back. He went away and He came back, but He never deserted them.
Amen.
Now I'm telling you, we may get a little sleepy, but if we'll just, hey, the Lord will be there, guess what? Above us, watching over us.
Amen.
There was the Lord. He saw the angels going up and down, but when He lifted His head high enough, He got off the angels real quick and got on the Lord. And for this crowd that always wants to study the doctrine of angels, you better forget about the doctrine of angels and start studying about the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
If you get your eyes up a little higher than the angel, you'll see Him.
Amen.
Because He was made a little lower. I didn't say created. He was made a little lower than the angels, but He was crowned with glory and honor far above them.
Amen. Right.
Amen. That's right. Now, He also had the Lord's promise. The Lord told him, said, this land whereon thou liest, He said, I'm going to give it to you and to your seed after you. And there He is with that word down in His heart. God said, I'm going to give you this land. He's going to Paddan Aram and stay there for a while. But God said, I'm going to give you this land.
Amen.
Do you think God missed it there? You think, nope. When all that stuff began to happen between Laban and Jacob down there, that was in the very perfect will of God. Late Jacob told his wife, he said, get ready, we're leaving this country. Well, where are you going? I'm going back to my land. Why are you going back? Because I remember a night when I fell asleep and laid my head on a pillow and saw the angels of God descending on a ladder. And on top of that ladder was Jesus! And He told me, He said, this ground you're laying on right here, I'm going to give it to you. What about that? The land He went to sleep on is the very land that God gave him. And God surely brought him back and gave him that land. What a blessing. What a blessing. Now, I want to say thirdly, and I'll be done here in just a minute. Notice what it says thirdly. He said, and when thou awakest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. Wait a minute. He goes to sleep. He gets direction. He goes to sleep. He wakes up. And guess what? He wakes up with the Word of God that is bound in his heart,
right,
tied around his neck. He wakes up and it begins to talk to him.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing? That the Word of God can talk with us?
Yes, sir.
It must be alive.
Amen.
Dead people don't talk. Dead books don't talk. So Paul said in the book of Hebrews, he said, His Word is quick. I'll just stop right there. I'm going further. That word quick means alive. Because it talks about Jesus coming back someday to judge the quick and the dead. That word quick in the Bible means alive. So he's talking about the Word of God being alive. Hey! Folks, that Bible, and I preach it is not a dead book. It's alive. It's able to talk to you. What do you think it done for me this morning? Well, Brother Steve, it wasn't Brother Steve this morning that showed me what that was about that bread on the Sabbath day. It was the Lord. It was that Bible, that Word, talking to my heart. Brother, I'm glad. Thank God it'll speak, friend. That book has got a mouth, and that mouth is called the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
through the Holy Ghost. It'll talk to you. It'll be your companion. I've told some of y'all this, and most of you. Old Brother Mary Jackson said, he asked his wife one day, said, "Honey, I got to go to the post office." Said, "You want to go with me?" She said, "No, I'm too busy, Mary." So he asked his son, said, "You want to go to the post office with me?" He said, "Daddy, I will, but I'm too busy." So he said, "Well, I'll just tell you Jesus." He said, "I got up out of the chair and said, I walked over to the door, opened the door and said, 'Go ahead, Jesus, after you.'" He shut the door and he went out to the automobile and he opened up the passenger car and said, "Jesus, get in." He shut the door. Went around to the other side and got in. Drove down to the post office. Got out. Went around, opened up the door. Said, "Jesus, get out." And he shut the door. Said, "Look," and there was an old black gentleman standing over there watching him. Said he recognized the black fellow and waved at him, spoke to him. And said he got to the post office door and he opened up. Said, "After you, Jesus." Shut the door. Went in, got his mail, come back to the door, and he opened up the door and said, "After you, Jesus." Said he went on out and got to the car, and he opened up the passenger car and said, "Get in, Jesus." Said he got in, shut the door. So he started to walk around the other door. Said that black gentleman was still over there looking at him. And said he called him a name and said, "Hey." Said, "I want you to come to church Sunday morning. Hear me preach." Said that black man said, "I ain't coming to your church." Brother May said, "Why not?" And he said, "Because you're too spooky." I guess that might be a little spooky. But the reality of it is there.
Amen.
We never go anywhere that He's not with us.
Amen.
So we better watch our ways and our manners and our conduct, because there's never a moment that He is not our companion.
Amen.
If we're saved by the grace of God, and there's not a time in our life that we need somebody to talk to, that He won't speak to us. And by the way, He'll not only speak to us, He's got a listening ear. He'll listen to what we have to say as well.
Amen.
Have you ever had a conversation with the Lord?
Amen.
Just you and Him.
Amen.
And a good conversation. He's wonderful.
Yes. Amen.
That's right. The Word is alive. He talks to us when we're lonely. I think of little old Hagar in the book of Genesis when Abraham put her and Ishmael out. And there she sets out in the wilderness. The baby without water and her without water. And the baby, the bow shot away from her. The Bible said that the Lord heard the voice of the lad, didn't hear the voice of Hagar. Now I want all you parents to get a hold of this. I'm going to slow down a minute. The Lord heard the voice of the lad. But He never spoke to the lad. He spoke to Hagar. And said, "Hagar, what aileth thee?" Now there's a lesson there. God doesn't speak to the children. God speaks to mommies and daddies. And it makes mommy and daddy responsible as His companion to listen when He's got something to say. Come on home, children. Come on in the house. When He's got something to say about your child, you better listen. What if Hagar just sat there and ignored that? Her and the boy both would have been in serious trouble. And I'm telling you, if you don't listen to God speak to you about your children, you and your child both are going to get in serious trouble. Mine likewise. Mine likewise. We all put on our shoes the same way and our pants on if we're men. One leg at a time. I don't know anybody in here. I know I can't do it. I never could when I was young. Jump straight up in the air and fall down both legs at the same time. One leg at a time. One shoe at a time. Tying them up. All of us. And we better listen when God speaks to us about our children, friend. Because if we don't, it could cost us and them both. But Hagar listened. And God said, "What aileth they?" Now, man, she said in her heart, "Well, surely if he knows what's ailing me. I don't have any water." And the Bible said that God opened up her eyes and there was a well of water. God didn't dig the well. It was already there. He just opened up her eyes so she could see that well that was there. That's where our problem's at. We've got a well of springing water. Now I'm going to tell you our problem is we just need to let God open up our eyes where we can see that well. And hey, she didn't only see it. I believe she got a drink. And I believe after she got a drink, she took the boy a drink. Not took him a drink first. I wonder how many of us in here that are parents, have we drank from the well? And are we sharing that well with our children?
Amen.
Hey, when was the last time your child got a drink in that well of living water?
Amen.
When was the last time you gave them a drink of it?
Amen.
I'm about done. And the Bible says there that He talks with us. He talked to Hagar. He spoke to her. And I'll tell somebody else, when old Jacob went back, Jacob came and he saw the Lord. But when he went back to that same spot, and Esau was coming to meet him, he was full of fear. He crossed the brook Jabbok and went back and spent all night with God. Hey, and the Lord asked him, said, "What is your name?" They wrestled all night. And the Lord said, "Let me go." Jacob said, "Not till you bless me."
Amen.
And the Lord said, "What's your name?" He said, "Jacob." "Sup, planter?" He said, "From now on, it's going to be called Israel because you've got power both with man and with God." But here's what really gets me about that whole narrative. I've never thought on it like this before, Brother Joel. But Jesus wrestled and asked him, said, "What's your name?" You think he didn't already know? He wanted Jacob to confess the fact that he was a crook.
Amen.
That he was a cheat.
Amen.
That had already crooked his daddy. Yeah. He'd already crooked Laban. He was crooked. But here's the thing that got me. Jacob said, "Well, he wanted to know my name." Jacob said, "And by the way, what's your name?" And Jesus said, "What's that to you?" That it's not important what my name is. The important thing is what I've done for you, Jacob.
Right.
The important thing is what I've made for you.
Amen.
And hey, by the way, He speaks when we're lonely. That's what He did to Hagar.
Amen.
She was lonely without a friend in the world. But she forgot there was a friend that took us closer than a brother.
Amen.
And He spoke to her and opened up her eyes. She saw that well.
Yeah.
And here's little old Jacob. He saw the coming. But God said, "Hey, Jacob, you're not Jacob anymore. You're Israel." You know why? You've got power both with men. Don't you worry about Esau. You've got power with men. And I'm going to tell you the blessing of it. You don't only have power with men. You've got power with God.
Amen.
Somebody said, "What does that matter?" I'll tell you what that matters. Ask the seven sons of Sceva. They'll tell you.
Amen.
They wanted to cast out a devil one day and said, in the name that Paul and Jesus preached, said, "Come out of him." Then that devil leaped on them and whooped all of them and sent them off wounded and naked. I'm going to tell you what he said before he done that. He said, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you?"
Amen.
Jesus didn't know that. That devil knew that crowd didn't know Jesus.
Amen.
And Jesus didn't know them.
Amen.
That's right. We got any power with God? We got any power with men? I hope we have. I know one thing, we have got a companion that when we're fearful and lonely, He'll speak to us and talk to us. That Bible says so.
Amen.
When we awake, that book begins to talk. That's another message in itself. When we awake, not when we're going to sleep.
Amen.
How about this morning? You satisfied with everything in your life? Everything running all right and smooth? I hope so. I hope he's giving you direction and comfort. I hope he speaks to you, helps you, blesses you in your life. Let's stand together.